Well, good morning. I'm Logan. If you don't know me or if you don't recognize me because I'm wearing a suit, that's fine. I usually don't do this, but this summer I've had the privilege to be the pastoral intern here at the church and work under a lot of these awesome ministers you have leading your church today. So as Brother Greg had mentioned, I am going to Dallas Baptist to pursue a degree in ministry. And through that, I hope that God would put me in a place where I can serve the Lord the best. I honestly just want to thank you as a church body for supporting me in my ministry here. It's been a great privilege to know all of you, to be taught by you, and to just grow with you. With that being said, I'm just going to go for the Word of God. Turning your Bibles to Psalm 1, and we'll get this started. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked, they're not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will be cast out, and the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Father God, we just praise you for your word this morning. God, we pray that you would speak to us in a powerful way. God, that you would pour your spirit out on this congregation, that, God, we would see you, and that we would just praise you with all that we are, Father. Open our hearts to receive your word. We love you, Father. So have you ever noticed how wicked this world is? In the world today, in Africa, there are AIDS epidemics that are sweeping through Africa. People are dying hour by hour due to the lack of nutrition and the lack of sanitation. And there are wars all over the world. We can't seem to be a world that is at peace. There are just horrible things going on in this world and global economic crises. And all of this is the result of sin and the wicked man. And in America, we all love America, but the crime rate in America is rising. Anytime you turn on the TV, you will see on the news something where someone's robbed somewhere, or someone's killed somebody, or there's been fire started, and it just seems horrible. And so the crime rate is up, and then unemployment in America, I mean, it's just skyrocketing now. And we're in an economic crisis that is continually to be greater and greater. And we're trillions of dollars in debt. And all of this is the result of sin and wicked man. And in the church, in our churches today, the divisions between the denominations are rampant. They're horrible. Where someone will be Baptist, and then someone will be Methodist, and someone will be Presbyterian, and will be at war with each other instead of being a body of Christ that is united under Christ. And then church growth, it may not even be growth. We're on a decline because we're too worried about the church politics, we're too worried about the number of people we have, and we're too worried about the next program than we're worried about the Word of God in our churches. All of this is the result of sin and the wicked man. And in ourselves, we're too worried about the next best thing than worried about the greatest thing, which is God. We're too worried about the next job promotion. We're too worried about that next paper. We're too worried about that person sitting next to us and the relationship with them than a relationship with God, the creator and the sustainer of this entire earth. All of this is a result of sin in the wicked man. But Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So this word blessed in the English translation means, oh, the happiness. But if our happiness is found in God, then God is an eternal God who works outside of time, then this happiness should actually translate into being joy. And so it would literally mean, oh, the joy of the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And now, just to clarify, this word man does not mean a human male, but it means a godly person, is what the Bible is getting at here. And this way of walking, it's not a step-by-step thing, but it's a general pattern in life where you're walking either towards God or against God. You're either walking towards what is righteous and what is beautiful and what is eternal, or you're walking completely away from it into the darkness, into sin, and into wrath. So verse 1 almost literally means, oh, the joy of the godly person who does not walk in sin, and that you would not seek the advice of the wicked, that you would not be around the people who are sinning constantly, and that you would not seek advice from those who are wicked, but that you would walk with God and that you would be in His glory. So verse 2, the thing is, we are wicked. And verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law He meditates day and night. So this term, this word delight, means to take joy in. But again, I think the Bible takes a different meaning to this word delight. I'm going to use an example to explain it. Delighting would be like some men in their coffee. Every morning, without a fail, the man has to have a cup of coffee or else his day is completely ruined. They even have a cool little alarm clock thing where they can set the coffee the night before, and then it, when the time comes, it'll start making the coffee by itself. And the man can smell it and get up and walk straight for the coffee. And without the coffee, the man's day would be completely off. It'd be ruined. He wouldn't be able to function without this coffee. The coffee becomes a part of the man's identity. In the same way, the Word of God should be for the godly person, where in the morning we should wake up and say, "Hello, God. Thank You for letting me be alive. Thank You for letting me take another breath and to be able to walk in this world and do Your ministry. Now I'm going to spend time in Your Word and I'm going to focus on You." And that the godly person wouldn't be able to function without the Word of God in his life every morning. That without it, the day would just be shot and he wouldn't be able to function completely. So, as the way that the man delights in his coffee and his identity is found in the coffee, the godly person's identity should be found in the Word of God. So verses 1 and 2 put together mean, oh, the joy of a godly person who doesn't walk towards sin, but walks towards God. And every day he spends with God and in His Word. In verse 3, well, actually, you know, after saying that, we realize that we're wicked. And verse 3 says, He's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its seasons. Its leaves do not wither, and its, and all that he does, he will prosper. So the godly, in result to delighting in the Lord and delighting in God's Word, in result to running towards Christ instead of running towards sin, we see what a godly person should look like. We should be a tree planted by streams of water. And these streams of water, that's Christ. The streams of water is the living water that flows through our lives. And that we would be planted by it. And through that water, the nourishment would come into our lives. And that we would be able to stand. And now it says here, and it yields fruit in its season. I like to use the term in our youth group a lot, do work. And so this term literally means, for me, is to bear fruit. And bearing fruit means that a Christian is doing work, doing the work that God has set before him. So to bear fruit would be in direct response to God's word and to being in a strong relationship with God. So, and it says right here, and all that he, this leaf does not wither. So if we are running with God, if we're planted by the water, if we are bearing fruit, in all that we do, we're not going to fade away. We're going to be able to stand whatever's going to happen to us. And it says that he will prosper in all he does. So that if we're doing the work of God, there's no way that we're going to fail. If we have the strong foundation in the word, we're going to prosper in what we do. But the problem is that we are wicked. Man is wicked. And verse 4 says, the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. So the wicked here are nothing like the godly. I know that's an obvious point. But we really need to realize that there's no way we can hide any of it. That the wicked are running this way and the godly are going this way. They're not the same at all. It says they're like chaff blown around in the wind. Now chaff is empty hulls of that it will be separated from the grain. That when the wind blows, like the lightest breeze would just blow the chaff away and you would just see it flying in the wind. Because it is empty. And since the wicked are like the chaff, the wicked are empty. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're filled with nothing. They're filled with wicked. And if we're filled with nothing, that means we're dead. The wicked are dead. So verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So if these wicked are empty, if these wicked are dead, they're not going to be able to stand when the judgment of God comes. They're going to have nothing that covers them when the judgment comes. So they're just going to fade away. There's nothing to the existence. They're dead. And they're going to be separated. It says those sinners will not stand in the way of with the righteous. Like the chaff blown away from the grain, so will the sinners. There's nothing that you can hide from God. He sees it all. So the wicked are going to blow away and they won't stand. But the righteous, they're going to stand because they're firmly planted by the streams of living water. And verse says, for the Lord, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now remember, we, man, are wicked. So if God knows the way of the righteous, this is significant that God would know. The Hebrew word for know is to see and to declare. So I know this pew because I see it and I declare that it is pew. You are pew. I know the pew. In the same way, God sees the way of the righteous, except that God is the way of the righteous. So God sees in himself what is good, and he declares that it is good, and he says, if you want to be my righteousness, you're going to have to abide in me. God is the way of the righteous. He not only knows it, but he is the way of the righteous. But the wicked will perish. It says right here, the way of the wicked will perish, just like the chaff blown away. There's nothing to stand on. So if the wicked are going to perish, and if we are wicked, how in the world are we going to be declared what is good and righteous by God? The answer is simple. We're not. There's nothing we can do to be declared righteous. But there is hope. And the hope is seen And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 21, if you want to flip there real quick. This is a great verse. It says, "For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Look, the way is prepared. Christ has made the way for us. Now picture this. The only thing to walk on this earth that was ever holy, that was ever perfect, that was ever been flawless, no sin in His life whatsoever. Picture that. Becoming sin itself. Mark 15:33 says that the land was filled with darkness when Christ was put on the cross. Can you imagine the disparity of this situation? To sit there and see what was perfect and what was holy be made sin itself. And the entire earth is dark. He became every single sin that we were. Every single sin that we've ever done. Christ became that and He died. So the sin is dead. That's the encouraging part. There's no more sin. We are not held back by sin. Amen. Because Christ made the way. But He did this so that we might become the righteousness of God. It doesn't say we automatically get the privilege of being the righteousness of God, but that we might be it. And the way is to believe. And then to follow, to become the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who does not walk towards sin, but to be walking towards Christ, walking what's towards beautiful, walking towards what's holy, and then being obsessed with God's Word. And that nothing would be it. That nothing would fill our lives but the Word of God. So I want to ask you a question. Are you the righteous man, the godly person that Psalms 1 is describing? Are you walking in the way that God has prepared? Are you founded by the stream of living water? Are you bearing fruit? Are you able to stand? Or are you wicked? Are you spitting in the face of Christ, who gave it all? From perfect holy being to becoming sin itself. Are you spitting in His face? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for what You've done on the cross. God, we love You, Father. But God, we confess that we are wicked. For Your Word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God, we realize that. And God, we're sorry that You had to give up Your one and only Son just for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And God, I just pray that You would make us like the blessed man. Make us the godly person that Psalm 1 is talking about. God, we love You and we stand here amazed in Your presence today. In Jesus' name.